Welcome back to the History of North America Extra. I'm Mark Vinette. The Dead Letter, Chapter 38. Big Ben chimed eight times for the benefit of all Londoners. Julia and Wade had returned to the great city the night before, accompanied by a convoy of Scotland Yard vehicles that had earlier arrived at Holy Trinity Church, well in time to apprehend their attacker. Julia had driven her yellow Jag back to London solo, while Wade rode with Inspector Compton in order to exchange information and give a complete statement. Overnight, Wade received a modernized version of the scanned dead letter he had sent to Andalusia. Denari's language expert worked full-time for the United Nations and moonlighted for her former flame, David Wade. He had shared the shocking contents of the letter with Julia and Inspector Compton, but the purpose of their early sit-down concerned other matters. Wade found himself, once again, within the central offices of Scotland Yard. This time, however, the early morning meeting took place in a less generic room, Compton's office. Wade, alongside his female partner on this adventure, commenced their final debriefing.
"My people and I have identified your attacker," Compton announced without emotion. "As we all suspected, he is the guy who also poisoned your client, Mr. Wade."
"How did he do it?" asked Julia.
"He was purposely dating Joyce Denny's housemaid. He visited his sweetheart at your client's home the afternoon of the murder and found a way to secretly insert Cantarella into Walsingham's dry gin carafe, knowing that he drank the liquid every evening at 9.
"Why didn't the housemaid immediately tell authorities about her boyfriend's afternoon visit?" Julia asked with indignation.
Inspector Compton looked up from his notepad. "She didn't reveal the visit because she was afraid to lose her job, having been warned by her employers not to bring her men friends into their home. The maid never suspected her lover was the poisoner and thus kept quiet until it became clear that she was a prime suspect for the murder."
Wade remained silent, preferring to absorb all new information before commenting.
"Although your attacker is still in critical condition and unresponsive," Compton revealed, "overnight, we were able to connect him with a Euro syndicate of document forgers. We searched his apartment and found what appears to be a high-quality forged diary purported to have been written by one of the leading candidates for the authorship of Shakespeare's works."
"He was an anti-Stratfordian?" Julia asked.
"Not really," the inspector responded. "Those folks are harmless. No, he is a professional forger who wanted to profit from their tireless efforts and activities by producing a counterfeit diary to back up their long-standing claims."
Compton turned to Wade.
"Do you remember the infamous forged Hitler diaries that suddenly appeared and were, at first, authenticated in the 1980s?
"Yes, I do," recalled Wade.
"That series of 60 volumes of journals supposedly penned by Adolf Hitler were purchased in 1983 for $9.3 million. That was big money."
Julia gestured as if to intervene, but stopped, then changed her mind and intervened anyway.
"I'm trying to connect the dots, but I still don't get it."
Compton obliged. "The syndicate was well aware of the caller who offered Mr. Wade's client the lost gown. They were also very aware of the gown legend, the Shakespeare family connection, and the supposed contents of the letter. They did not want this myth to be proven true, jeopardizing the lucrative sale of their diaries. What about the man who was murdered by our attacker? The man who called Walsingham and David, offering the gown?"
Julia asked. Scotland Yard's finest explained.
we tracked down the caller's former wife. She was very cooperative and helpful. She claims to be a distant descendant of Kate Arden and acquainted with the gown legend passed down through family lore. The dress, however, had never been seen or possessed by anyone in her family, but its existence almost seemed real to her and her relatives. When her great uncle died a few months back, she inherited the old dilapidated ancestral home and immediately began major renovations. One afternoon, the gown box was found by a worker behind an attic wall that was being torn down. She immediately connected the gown to the family legend. Her then husband encouraged her to wait a few days before making any decisions regarding the treasure's future, like lottery winners do. Reacting to all this, Julia was literally sitting at the edge of her seat, while Wade was calm, fingers from both hands forming a tent in front of his mouth. I'm Mark Vinette, and I hope you enjoyed the listen. The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art, inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.